Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Hey, happy Friday, everybody. TGIF here on Sports Daily. Glad to be with you. Jacob Albrecht, Tommy Kester, Jad Chambers alongside us, manning that IHOP hotline brought to you by IHOP. Excited to bring back its all-you-can-eat pancakes deal through September 15th. You can call it 869-1240. It is open phones today here on the show. So get in touch with us that way. You can also get in touch with us, of course, on our video stream, 12 News Connected. We can find your comments on Facebook, YouTube, and X as well. We are out there for everybody. The Chiefs wrap up the preseason. We'll go through their game last night, see if it, either of us think it gives us any indication on some roster decisions coming up. The Royals get back in action. We'll really look in and dig into not only this series with the Phillies, but the next 20 games as well. And then in hour number two today, it'll be a little fun. So what will happen in hour number two, our second hour here today will double over as a part of the pregame festivities for the CBS preseason game this weekend with the Broncos. And we will be a part of that pregame coverage. So we'll take the full hour and it will go there. So what we're going to do in that hour as a little specialty piece is make some predictions for you. We'll go through, we'll make our college football predictions. We'll make some NFL predictions, Super Bowl winners, all of those types of things. We'll have TJ Cleland jump on with us as well in the second hour to join in the fun, as he'll be a part of the picks this year that we make during the season, and maybe even a little high school sports look ahead too with TJ's Catch Kansas crew's been going. So it'll be a fun show today, and we look forward to your participation. We will give away some HTO today. We'll try to do that in the first hour here. In fact, let's set that up right now because it won't make as much sense in the second hour with double duty today. So let's set that up right now. You can enter the contest. It is buy one, get one free day today and every Friday in August at HTO. You can get two free drinks, though, a free iced tea, more than 20 flavors, a free coffee drink, iced or hot, featuring free rain coffee. All you got to do to win that is to text the keyword TEA right now to the short code 20357. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. Tommy, Chiefs in the book. We've got tea times out at Crestview later today. It's going to be a good Friday. We got a little fun to have on the show here today. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I was a little concerned about the rain this morning. I mean, we obviously need the rain, but, you know, from a golfing perspective, a little bit concerned about it. But, you know, looks like everything's clearing out. Should be a nice afternoon. In fact, the longer it's cloudy, the cooler it should be as the day rolls on. So it should be pretty nice out there. But glad to be here. Looking forward to kick off the show and get into it today.
I'll tell you the same thing. Just keep it in the fairway. It shouldn't be that big a deal, you know?
Exactly. That's why you got to, easy. It's an easy game when you really break it down.
It'll be the first, and we're not, you know, we're actually at two different tee times, but you know, I'm going to hold back what I was just going to say. We will be having fun out at Crestview today. Crestview, great sponsor of this show. We appreciate them. Are you playing the North or the South?
Playing the North course this afternoon.
Okay. So I'll be on the South. Okay. I'll be on the South. So you don't have to worry about any heckling from me, at least while you're playing.
Well, I know I'm going out later than you. I was concerned that we were going to be on the same course and I was going to have to repair all your ball marks and your divots and all of that.
Because
you're a degenerate. You don't even take care of anything.
I do a wonderful job taking care of things. There's zero chance you might see my rear end on that course. Those things would never happen because I'm a gentleman and I'm very well behaved. So, no, you don't have anything to worry about. Nothing at all. But it'll be fun out there. We appreciate Crestview's support of the program. Get out there, check it out. I was in the other day. They've, you know, new paint job on the outside and inside of the clubhouse. It was feeling and looking new and clean and sharp in there. So they've done a great job with some of their renovations. The splash pad at the pool is redone. Have you had your kids out since they redid the splash pad? It's bigger and better than ever.
It's pretty impressive. They did it really fast too. We were out there and they had the concrete all broken up and everything like a couple of weeks ago. We were out there last weekend and it was all done and painted and fun. And, you know, my little kids love it. So it's a really cool addition out there.
Ours do too. All right, let's talk Chiefs here, Tommy. You know, there was nothing, you know, game-wise, they lose, who cares?
They're 0-3 in the preseason means nothing.
None of the starters played. I don't think any of them played. Some of the guys that will be important played, like, you know, Lucas Niang was out there.
but none of the starters played. I think the very obvious takeaway is that Carson Steele has to be on this team. And honestly, it's getting to the point where like he needs to be a contributor on this team. And I'll tell you what I like about his game is it mirrors to some degree to me Isaiah Pacheco's game, right? So I watch him run and I'm like, well, is that the long-term, you know, answer to when Pacheco comes off the field? Because stylistically, the way that they run the ball, there's a lot of similarities between those two guys. And so I kind of look at, I know everybody's been talking about him as a fullback, and maybe that's, we didn't get a great, or at least I didn't in the limited time that I was able to watch the preseason games. I didn't get a feel for his hands or how good a pass blocker he is. So who knows? But as far as just putting the ball on his belly, I mean, you can't let that guy go, I don't think, at this point. So I think he'll have a spot pretty clearly now based on his performance of the preseason games.
Yeah, I've transitioned from after the first preseason game saying, let's pump the brakes and wait, it's one preseason game, to after the second game saying, okay, I think he'll probably make the roster, to after last night, okay, he needs to be prominent in this offense, I think, moving forward.
Well, yeah.
But here's my thought. Okay, so I think that right now, as it stands through the preseason, he's probably running back number two on this depth chart. I think he is. I think he's right behind Isaiah Pacheco. So when I say have a prominent role, I mean as the prominent backup to Isaiah Pacheco. We didn't see Clyde Edwards-Helaire, you know, at all really this preseason. And I know that he's, you know, been dealing with some issues, and obviously wish him all the best and everything. And he's somebody that has been around for a long time. He brings experience to the running back room that they don't have. I mean, Isaiah Pacheco is experienced, but Carson Steele is not. Denarik Prince is not. You know, Keyonte Ingram is not. So I think they do need that experience in their locker room, but I don't think Clyde Edwards-Helaire will be a difference maker whatsoever for them. And Denarik Prince, you know, I think is a nice story, but he's probably a practice squad guy yet again this season. So I think Carson Steele has almost, maybe not even almost, I think he's definitively solidified himself as probably the primary backup to Isaiah Pacheco going into this season. And I think the another great thing about him is that you could, in theory, put both of them on the field at the same time. You know, you can have Pacheco as a tailback. You could have Carson Steele as a fullback and can kind of slide into that role as well. So even if he's not, you know, getting a ton of snaps, or as many as we might like at the tailback role, they can slide him into other places too, and he can be, you know, a contributor at fullback.
I don't know that Pacheco needs a fullback the way he runs. So, I mean, yeah, you could formationally maybe put them both down there at the goal line or something. I just think it's hard because you sit here and you watch preseason, and for any other position, you don't want to like overreact to what you're seeing, right, out of a guy like Carson Steele. And then you remember Isaiah Pacheco was what, a sixth round pick and an
seventh round draft pick
on the team.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not unprecedented at all. And at that position, especially, I don't think you just can't ignore what your eyes are telling you, which is that this guy is useful and could be a meaningful contributor.
Yeah.
If he's able to handle everything that would come into being a backup for a guy like Isaiah Pacheco, who, again, both of these guys, I mean, violent runners get hurt in the NFL. Just happens, right? And so to have another guy who can at least replicate some of what Pacheco's able to do would be handy. He'll make the team. He's got to make the team. There's no chance, right, that he doesn't make the team. They'd be crazy.
Yeah,
let him go.
By the way, the other thing about Carson Steele, I know that he was undrafted, and so there's been a little bit of where did this guy come from? All of a sudden, he's burst onto the scene. It's not like he went to no-name schools. He was at UCLA.
He did. He went to Ball State and then transferred to UCLA.
Yeah, but he played last year at UCLA, and Ball State's right. Not a no-name school. I mean,
well, no,
they're not
fine.
Massive.
It doesn't
it's
matter.
Fine.
It's a running back.
Right? I'm just saying, like, it's there's been kind of that. Where did he come from? Just out of nowhere. Well, he played for UCLA a year ago and started nine games for UCLA. So, you know, he was a Pac-12 running back that started for UCLA a season ago. So, yeah, while he was undrafted, that doesn't matter ultimately at the end of the day. and it's not like he just burst onto the scene and nobody, you know, has ever heard of him before. Maybe for the Chiefs, yes, because he wasn't a draft pick that his name got called in April. But he was a fairly prominent college running back during his career.
Running back to me, it doesn't really matter where you went. And I know it matters. It matters. But to like what we're seeing on the field, I don't care where he played college football. He's running over dudes at the NFL.
Yeah. And by the way, it does matter where you went, because the Chiefs drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the first round because he went to LSU. Like, that was a part of it. He was very, very prominent and very well known.
It didn't matter.
But that's the narrative. Like, it does matter.
People can say that. And at some positions, it matters. Yeah. At quarterback, it matters more. At running back, for me, like, can you pass block when you're a Chiefs running back? Because that's critical for Patrick Mahomes. And I can see that you can run people over. I don't care where you, like, you're running people over. Like, it doesn't matter. Oh, yeah, he's running people over. But, you know, remember, he started at Ball State.
Yeah.
Like, nobody does that at running back, especially not the evaluators. I mean, Isaiah Pacheco played at Rutgers.
Right.
We're going to be unkind. Who I hear might actually have a decent football team this year. Carson Steele is he's the headline grabber. And that's important too, right? It's important that he gets people fired up. It's important that Mahomes is on the fire. I mean, you can't tell me that you can't find a spot for him on special teams. Like, yeah, I imagine he could go down and make a tackle or block something.
Well, and he had a return, you know, last night. He's had returns in the preseason
think he's going to be doing that, but.
He, with the way the new kickoff rules maybe are, he may be a contributor, you know, in that regard and be effective. He's been one of, if not the most effective returner for the Chiefs throughout the preseason, just because of the way that the new kickoff is set up. He's solidified on the roster. He'll make the 53-man roster. That gives me a little bit more comfort in knowing that there is some depth behind Isaiah Pacheco that can be effective, because, like I said, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, you know what you're going to get out of him, but he's not going to be a difference maker on this team. And Denarik Prince, while he has been fun at times, and you've seen flashes in last preseason and this preseason, I'm just not sure that he's shown anywhere close to the skills or talent necessary to be a contributor at the NFL level right now.
I think they'll keep three running backs, and I think Steele will be one of them. Wide receiver was one that we watched. It was an interesting night at wide receiver, quite frankly. I think the way they used Tony continues my belief that they will find a way to keep Kadarius Tony on the roster. Mecole Hardman had the most targets. He did nothing in the game, which was somewhat interesting. There is a belief out there that Hardman doesn't make the team either, which I suppose we could consider. It's not like they're paying him a ton of money. So I think the way that I don't want to say they force fed the ball to Tony early. It did feel that way just a little bit. And if you'll recall, he almost had an unreal stat line, because if the Bears defender doesn't make a great play on that, there was a play where Olodokun was scrambling around and heaved one up and it was a last second deflection. That would have been a touchdown. Assuming, which might be a little rich, that Kadarius Tony catches that ball. But his stat line was almost like ridiculous if you look at that. I think they were forcing him the ball early to just sort of justify a decision that they had already hoped for. I think, Tommy, he's going to be on the roster.
See, I don't. I still don't think that they're going to find a place for him. And Andy Reid, after the game, didn't really give him a ringing endorsement. You know, basically said that he's in a battle to make the team. And he is. And that's nothing that we don't already know.
Andy Reid after the game also said the biggest challenge for him is staying healthy.
For sure. And he did say that, you know, they know his talent. If it was going to be definitive that there was going to be a place for him, you know, I think that it would have been a little bit more of a ringing endorsement from Andy Reid than what we saw last night. That would just be my guess. I know he tends to play his cards very close, you know, to his vest and everything. But if it were me, I think that Kadarius Toney, if he was a lock to make the roster, you probably would have heard a little bit more about that from the head coach.
He didn't give any indication that Carson Steele still feels to me
like he's like very squarely on the bubble and that it could go one direction or the other.
Absolutely think he is.
And I have not moved, even from watching him last night and then hearing Andy Reid's comments, there was nothing that happened in the whole realm of the game and postgame last night that would lead me to change my mind at this point that he's going to make the team. I still think that he's out.
Well, it's nothing in that outcome will surprise me. I do think, and this is why I think it's been a challenge for the, I think the Chiefs have been challenging him to get his head screwed on right. And I do think they'll give him one more chance. Sky Moore, was it a punt return? Like, I know he touched the ball, but I don't even remember the context of it. I think he's in far more danger than Tony. And I just don't know of the other group. Hardman, I had always just sort of put Hardman on the roster, and maybe that was naive of me. I don't know what they're going to do, but I do think Tony will be a part. We'll see.
I mean, we'll find out
in about a week.
And what was interesting, you know, and I know that Dave Tobe is one of the most respected special team coaches, assistant coaches in the National Football League. And I know that he's got Andy Reid's ear. They have a ton of respect for one another. Dave Tobe, I don't know if you've caught this. He's been advocating for Nico Remigio to make the roster to be somebody that could be a contributor on special teams for the Chiefs this season. If that ends up,
they targeted him three times.
If that ends up being the case, then you could see Hardman and potentially Tony and or Moore out of the team. I mean, because that does add in another receiver into the mix.
You could see Hardman just not make it, regardless of what happens with everybody else.
Exactly. That could take that spot.
What's gotten really interesting, because at this point you could totally justify, you can justify just about any of these outcomes. You could definitely justify keeping Tony and not Hardman. I mean, Tony's upside is higher. So is his floor, right? So is his downside. But what I think has been interesting, and again, this is just me trying to watch preseason games and probably taking too much out of it. It has seemed to me a little bit that the return game that we're anticipating, when we see guys like Steele back there, I don't know. I almost thought of it like as you put a couple punt returners back there, small, shifty guys. Now it is looking more like a, like you remember Brian Westbrook and how great he was. Like, it's almost like, hang on a minute. Like, this, the way it's designed might benefit a bulkier, you know, back a little bit more. Maybe it takes away your ability to break one off, but it also ensures maybe a more secure field position. So I don't know what they'll do. I haven't gotten the indication you'll see like Hardman and Tony back there, like we might have thought, you know, 3 months ago. Just in returning everything, they'll probably still return punts, but I'm not sure they're going to return kicks. So I don't know what to make of special teams in all of this, and it's probably the key factor that's the hardest to predict.
Yeah, so going back to Dave Tobe and his comments, this was a couple of days ago, you couldn't get any more positive than this and definitive from Dave Tobe. He said in regards to Nico Remigio that he would be, quote, pounding the table to keep Remigio on the 53-man roster this year. And, you know, of course, it comes down to Andy Reid and Brett Veach also, you know, clearly want to do, and how much credence they give to Dave Tobe's comments. My only concern would be if they don't keep a player like Remigio, and I don't know if the situation is identical or not, or exactly what would happen there. But you remember a year ago when the Chiefs traded Amir Smith-Marset to the Panthers, and he was somebody that had a really standout preseason and looked to be somebody that could provide a spark in the wide receiver room for the Chiefs, and they traded him to the Panthers. And he didn't end up doing a whole lot for the Panthers. He was mainly on special teams last year. But when it got rough wide receiver-wise for Kansas City middle of the season, I remember thinking at the time, man, it wouldn't have been terrible to at least still have Smith-Marset on the roster somewhere or on the practice squad, where they maybe could have given him a few reps to see if he could do better than what these current guys are doing. I just don't want the same thing to happen with a player like Nico Remigio.
My hands are in the air on it. I'll trust him to do whatever they need to do. I think that the new special teams thing makes this wildly unpredictable, and it probably makes their decision even harder because they're also still trying to figure this out. When you talk about reps and everything else, like, they haven't, there's not a lot out there for them to go for, especially a veteran like Tobe. Like, this is a new invented thing, right, that we're trying to figure out. So I don't know how much that will go into the roster decisions. I know that Andy Reid didn't and will never give any indication of what he's thinking. So we'll get more into it. We'll play you some of that post-game audio perhaps in the second hour a little bit later. But, you know, it's in the books. Preseason's done. No, you know, if the Hollywood Brown ding is the only thing injury-wise that comes out of training camp slash the preseason, Tommy, for the,
kind
for
of.
The
I mean,
key starters.
Except, I mean, Wanya Morris, and I know that he's going to be more of a depth piece probably at this point.
Yeah, I think he's
but
fine.
But he re-aggravated the knee that he's had an issue with throughout the preseason. It just, to me, it lends more credence to the thought that they probably need to find some additional depth, I would think, on the offensive line between now and the start of the season.
Yeah, we'll see. And I don't know what their evaluation is of the backups. I mean, Andy Reid very vaguely answers all those types of questions. So anyway, we're going to come back. We're going to look ahead for the Royals as well. Don't forget, hour number two is a fun hour. It's like a simulcast edition of the hour because it's going to go into some pregame slot before the game this weekend on CBS. So our 12 News Connected partnership continues to grow. We're excited about that. We're going to come back. We'll get you ready for the Royals. TJ Cleland joins us in the second hour to preview the NFL season. We'll make some predictions, sort of a preview of our picks this year, if you will. But lots of fun still to come here on the program. All that football talk you're hearing, well, it's brought to you by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. We'll be right back. All right, welcome in, everybody. Sports Daily, KFH, Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster here with you. Rick brings up the semantics of roster rules in the NFL. Hardman is a veteran. He says they can cut him and not worry about waivers claims. If he wants to sign his practice squad, they could allocate. I don't think with Hardman, I'm not sure how much of an appetite league-wide there would be for Hardman at this point. Maybe there would be. I think it feels kind of Chiefs or bust, so maybe he would potentially be a practice squad guy, which would be handy to have, right? He knows the system. He could get called up and help out immediately. So who knows? We'll get those roster decisions here pretty quick, and then we can all stop worrying about it. Tommy, the Royals, not worried about it, but we're excited about it. This stretch of games coming up is to be a challenge. And it starts tonight with Philadelphia. I mean, look, if we're talking tonight specifically, this is one that feels gettable. I mean, if you're talking about just looking at the starting pitching, you're about to face two Cy Young contenders essentially in the next two games. So maybe you go get Taijuan Walker. Michael Walker has been way consistent. You're at home though. Look, I don't want to sit here and be like scared of the Phillies. You're at home. You should take two of three, you know, from the Phillies. You should win this series, but that's going to be tough to do if they don't win the game tonight.
Yeah, one of the benefits of this series for me and one of the benefits of being a Braves fan is the Braves just got done playing the Phillies. The finale of their series was last night, and then Philadelphia goes from Atlanta to Kansas City. So I've watched the Phillies the last couple of nights, and the Braves took two of three from Philadelphia. The Braves are depleted. Like, their injuries are through the roof, and they're still keeping it a race in the National League East with the Phillies. And especially after taking two of three at home that wrapped up last night. The biggest thing right now is that the Phillies are having some issues offensively. And really, the injuries that the Braves have had, it really extends to their pitching staff as well. And last night, and this game was on Fox nationally last night, Spencer Schwellenbach pitched for the Braves and went seven innings. And I think gave up a couple of runs, but had a bunch of strikeouts. And then their bullpen took over and, you know, shut down. Really, Raisel Iglesias shut down the middle of the Phillies order last night to close out the game and win it 3-2. I think he only pitched had 10 pitches to strike out the side, basically, to get out of it. Harper and Castellanos and Stott. So the Royals are in a position now. They've got a better pitching rotation than the Braves do. So they're in a better spot, I think, than Atlanta was, and they just had Philadelphia in town for three games and took two out of three. So I absolutely think that the Royals, with the talent that they have overall, can do the exact same thing at home.
Yeah, sure they can. And it quick aside, so funny, the Braves and the Rangers are the two most snake-bitten injury teams, our teams this year. It's not even close, I don't think. But we get the Royals, thankfully. Yeah, you're not scared of anybody if you're Kansas City. I mean, you're just not. Like, what team, and Philadelphia would be as close as there is, probably. What team, when you look at it on paper, and this is some of what we talked about yesterday, can you be like, oh man, that's a better team than the Royals? That's what is so wild about this year to me and the way that this has played out. Could you have imagined in April, or let's call it March? I think we could have imagined, hey, the Royals could be, you know, they could be contending for a playoff spot. At least I have said that with the additions they made in the offseason, you could see a path with the highest upside. We had, you know, we had fooled me once too many times on that. But you're like, yeah, you know, it's the starting pitching. You know, if these guys come over and do a nice job, sure, you could see it. You know, they get some good young players, and a lot of those things have happened. But what the remarkable thing about this year has been to me is now we look at it, and could you have imagined in that same time saying, man, the Royals are going to be in the conversation as the best top-to-bottom roster in baseball? Because I would have said, you're flipping crazy if you'd have told me that. Playoff contender? Sure. Everybody can be a playoff contender. One of the best rosters in baseball? I'd have called you crazy. But that is the reality of the situation. Run differential tells you that. And it is because of so many things going the right way this year, right? It didn't really, the only additions that you look at and say just massive contributors are Lugo and Waka, right? Singer, Reagans was an addition a year ago. And then, you know, Renfro now has come around, and some of the play, Frazier, they're contributors, but they're not lighting the world on fire. But it's all come together well. And then they had a really nice trade deadline. But that's the situation we're in right now on August 23rd, is that this roster is as good as anybody else's. So I don't think you look at any of these series and be like, oh man, just survival. When I say I think they need to go 500, it's not because I think they're underdogs or anything like that. It's just the reality of the way this season's played out overall. I'm saying if you can get to 500 through this stretch, I think they'll be in fine shape to make the playoffs. And I don't want to overexpect anything, because we've had a whole season of Major League Baseball, not just the Royals, of baseball as a whole, to say it's really hard for good teams to beat good teams consistently this year. That's why nobody's going to get to 100 wins.
Yeah, and you know, you talk about the best roster from top to bottom. They weren't the best roster from top to bottom before the trade deadline. And, no, you know, that has absolutely flipped the script for Kansas City. And I remember at the time, and I'm going to eat crow a little bit here, I was underwhelmed by their trade deadline acquisitions at the time. I felt like it was okay at best, but nothing that was, you know, incredibly amazing at the time. I've fully come around on that. I mean, I was wrong on that. Jeff Passan tweeted last night that he gives Kansas City the crown for the best trade deadline performance this year. Lucas Ersig has an ERA of zero since coming to the Royals in over 10 innings. Yeah. Paul DeJong has a slash line of 286, 340, 548 with three home runs. And the Michael Lorenzen has an ERA under two in his time with the Royals over 22 and two-thirds innings. So those three right there have been just absolutely nails for the Royals since coming over.
And those three were not headline guys. Yeah. Harvey was the headliner trade. They gave up far more for Harvey than anything. Now he's been hurt. So, you know, whether he contributes or not this year, you really hope that he does, because that would they need that spot filled pretty badly. You combine that again. We talked about Piccolo for executive of the year. Is it even close? I mean, it can't be. When you look at also what he did in the offseason to bring guys in, like, it cannot be close in who the executive of the year in baseball is this year. I mean, it's been a good button pushing year. And you know what? Karma's maybe in play, because they've had way too many years of pushing all the wrong buttons and just bad fortune. I am a Dayton Moore fan. I think you probably are too with his time in Atlanta. I think he was a great person. I love his ties to this state, and I love what he did for the organization in 14 and 15. They just couldn't get anything right for a lot of years here, and now they deserve this so badly. So you look at the stretch, it's Philadelphia. That's who they'll play through the weekend. It's not so much the Philadelphia as it is what happens next week. Starting with a doubleheader on Monday, they go to Cleveland, to Houston. That's the road trip. Here's the Philadelphia is a good team. So you're talking about the thing is, all of these teams are playoff teams. Cleveland, Houston, Cleveland, Minnesota. Those are the, and then it'll end with the Yankees, but I don't know that they'll compete as directly with the Yankees. But Cleveland, Houston, Cleveland, Minnesota, like those are the teams. Those are the teams directly that you're going to be fighting to get that spot. You also get a little excited about what if they get on a hot streak and take a bunch of these? And I think they're certainly capable of that. I don't know whether to be more excited or more fearful. I really don't at this point. It was a weird day yesterday to just sit there. You could see it going insanely well, insanely poorly, or what I'm kind of hoping for is just kind of just get through it and maintain your lead all the way to the playoffs. It is a wild time.
Well, and don't forget, Cleveland lost again last night. And so the Royals are only two games back. Of course, they're still tied with Minnesota in second, but they're only two games back of the Guardians. And that just seems so wild to me because of just the lead that Cleveland has had basically this entire season over Kansas City and how hot they were to start the season. They're kind of floundering a little bit. And it wasn't just that they lost two of three to the Yankees. You know, of course, those games were in New York. But it was the fact that the finale last night, the Yankees shut them down. Yankees won 6-0. And so that doesn't bode well, I don't think, for Cleveland as things continue. And it sets up for, of course, you can't overstate the importance of when these two teams are going to lock horns beginning next week. And the fact that they've got, two out of the next three series after Philadelphia, they're head-to-head. But just the fact that Cleveland has cooled off now and the Royals are kind of hot right now. And it's a complete 180, I think, from, remember the last time these two teams matched up? And it was like at the time, just hang on. Just do what you can to hang on in that three-game set against Cleveland. One game got rained out, and so they kind of escaped with the sweep or with the split because Cleveland was so good back then. I think you absolutely like.
And the Royals were banged up.
They were banged up. You absolutely like where the Royals are right now when they get an opportunity to face them again.
It is. I completely agree. And while there are parts of this, Philadelphia, maybe Houston, that it's like, okay, just survive these series, you know, just make sure. The Cleveland and Minnesota portion of this 20-game stretch feels like go get them. Right? Feels like go chase it. Because Minnesota, the three you get, remember, at home. Kansas City's really struggled in Minnesota. They don't worry about that. They get that one at home. But you do have to play four in Cleveland. So I cannot wait for it. You get the game tonight. Coverage begins here on KFH at 7 o'clock against the Phillies. That's on KFH. Saturday and Sunday, you get 6 o'clock coverage beginning on Saturday, 1 o'clock coverage beginning on Sunday. And if you want to make a day of it Saturday, I'll be on Infinity Sports Network from 11 to 4. I don't think there's any local interruption there, so you should get me all the way through here in Wichita, kind of take you pretty close up to the Royals.
But by the way, that'll be fun as well. Yeah. Really, really quick, your Rangers get the Guardians this weekend. So hopefully they can do the Royals a little favor, beat up on them a little bit, you know, help them out.
They're running out of bodies. But they still have star power, so yeah, they could absolutely do something there in that series if the pitching lines up for them. All right, we'll come back. We'll look elsewhere around the sports world. Don't forget, hour number two, we got predictions coming. Really looking forward to that. All kinds of fun stuff. It'll be a new adventure in hour number two, and we'll have that for you. But we'll come back and wrap up hour number one right after this. Welcome back in, everybody. We wrap up hour number one here. Don't forget, hour number two will be a special hour, special edition, if you will, of Sports Daily, where we will take the show. And what will happen is that hour will re-air, not just on 12 News Connected. It'll air on 12 News ahead of the NFL, the CBS NFL pregame or preseason game on Sunday. We will go on, I believe, at 2 o'clock on Sunday. So that'll be fun. What we'll do there is bring in TJ Cleland. We're going to make some NFL predictions for you, an annual tradition on the show. Jad writes those down and then makes fun of us later in the year for what we predict. So we'll do a little of that with TJ. We'll talk a little K-State and KU football ahead of their seasons, which begin next week. So it'll be a lot of fun in that second hour. Tommy, it's a time, though, where people can still get in touch with you. If you want to be on the show and then potentially, go into a KWCH broadcast of it, You can call the IHOP hotline at 869-1240. It's brought to you by IHOP. IHOP excited about their all-you-can-eat pancakes deal, which goes through September 15th. So that'll still be open for you. We'll also take comments, video comments. So if you want to get any of those, if they're relevant to what we're talking about, you can always feed us those through Facebook, YouTube, or X.
Yeah.
Or you can just reach out to us directly, but we'll still be able to do all the same things that we always do as we make that simulcast.
Yeah, and don't forget about the talkback feature that's brand new on the Odyssey app.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think we've had anybody utilize that yet, but you definitely can. Go to the Odyssey app. You can go right there to KFH Radio. There's a little microphone icon right by the play button. You can click that. You're basically leaving us a voicemail. It's kind of like a voice memo, but it comes directly to us. It pops up
here.
That's
a dangerous.
You can tell us how
Chad will
we
check
are.
Those.
Chad's
going
to filter them through. And
sneak through a big fart sound or something, which would be great if somebody wanted to do that. But yeah, we'll have a filter on those.
Yeah.
You're not going to get free reign there.
But you can do that. If you don't want to talk to us live, you can absolutely leave that voice memo or talkback feature. And then assuming it's good quality, we'll play it back here on our show in hour two.
So that'll all happen for you. We're excited about it. Again, the Chiefs preseason wrap things up. That we'll look more predictively in the second hour at the Chiefs and the Royals a little bit. Everything in the second hour will be bigger picture kinds of stuff. And so we're excited about that. KUK State included. I don't even know how you get predictive with K-State and KU, but we'll try. The Big 12 is so wild this year. But we'll take a swing at that. But the NFL is a fun one. That's the one I've been looking forward to. So what we're going to do there is we'll tell you sort of who we think are going to make the playoffs, right? You got your seven playoff teams from each conference. That's where we're at right now. Seven, in the NFL. And then we'll give you like a conference championship and then a Super Bowl prediction. That gets a little easier. Well, not easier, but gets a little, simpler than trying to predict a college football season, but that's how that will work. So we'll take you through that as well. I'm looking forward to it. I love the prediction show every year. I love taking a swing at things, seeing where everybody feels about everything. And I'm curious to see how many similarities we have. I'm sure we'll all have some similarities in who we ultimately think will be the champion. But up until that point should get pretty interesting, and I think it'll be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be a great time, and I like it too. I like the predictions. I just don't like it when, you know, we get called on when we were wrong at the end of the season.
Oh, I do. I
am not a fan of that.
Nobody's right about that.
I still don't know if I've lived down. I don't think it was last year. It might have been two years ago.
Putting the Chargers
The Chargers instead of the Chiefs. I don't think I'll ever live that down. But I'll tell you one thing: I'll never do that again.
Anybody that thinks they're really good at it with the NFL is lying, probably, because at that point you'd go be a great bettor, right? And the best of the best is like 51% of the time. So I think you can hang your hat more on your champions or, you know, those kinds of things than you can trying to predict that the Texans last year were going to be this turnaround. I mean, those are fun things to do, but I always think like if I'm in the ballpark on the championship games and the ultimate champion, I feel pretty good about my predictions as a whole. There's lots of little predictions we make on individual players and who we think is going to be. And we'll do MVPs too. We'll do NFL MVP as well. So all of that's coming in the second hour. We'll have TJ Cleland joining us. We're looking forward to that. TJ will jump in. He and Brandon Zinner, who couldn't be here today, but will be a part of our picks along with Paul Savage, which, man, it is going to be absolute chaos, on Fridays making those picks. I'm looking forward to that.
From three people making picks to five people making picks each week.
Four back in the day. It can be done. We just have to be quick. You know, we're long-winded radio people here that have to be clear and succinct. TJ and Brandon live in the TV world. We cram what we do in 2 hours in TV into about 3 minutes. So I think they'll be okay. We'll just have to readjust our, you know, poetic waxing about each individual pick that we make. Do it all next. Looking forward to it. Here we go, everybody. It's going to be a good time. Hour number two. It is our simulcast hour with KWCH, not just 12 News Connected, the KWCH as a whole. Stay tuned for that. We're excited for it. And it begins when we return.